The above verse in context with its relevant adjacent verses is below. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name done many wonderful works? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who work iniquity, sin, lawlessness, or wickedness. Matt 7:21-27. First, it is impossible to do the will of the Father when you still sin, because those who still sin are slaves to sin, incapable of hearing God's directions to do his will. Despite what Christianity has told you, anyone who still sins will be banned from heaven when they die. From the word of the Lord within, I only know those who have been crucified. He knows everything, but his knowing you is for him to become one with you, which occurs after you have been crucified. Unless cleansed by the Lord's Spirit that destroys sin within man, every man's heart starts filled with evil, filled with sin, defiled, and disqualified for heaven. All defiled men are banned from heaven. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Mark 7:6. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lack of restraint, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within a man and defile him. Mark 7:21-23. And in no way shall there enter into it heaven anything that is defiled. Rev 21:27. The Lord is warning those who think they are Christians and still sin. 1. He doesn't know you, and 2. He will cast you into outer darkness, banned from heaven at judgment. From the word of the Lord within, everyone is expecting Jesus to be their excuse. Remember, every person who sins denies him as Lord and Master. If you're still sinning, you belong to sin and not to me. No man is promoted or excused that repeats sin. Only a heart that is purged of sin is acceptable to God. People must stand the price for their very brazen behavior. There is a war you must win. Sin must be overcome, the fleshly lusts war against your soul. Consequence-free sin does not exist, the consequences are truly staggering. All men are without excuse. If I were silent, they would have an excuse. All men have heard the call to repent. Those anonymous calls all men have heard to turn from evil, which if ignored will be their judge, John 12:47-48. At their death, every word will be played back, heard, and remembered to their great shame and sorrow. So, before you can do the Father's will, you must be crucified to be free from all sins, capable of hearing what the Father wills you to do. Jesus never said you could be saved if you say the sinner's prayer, or be baptized with water, or eat bread and drink grape juice. This is just heathenish ritual of micro, dead works, the wide and broad way that leads to destruction. The deficit sects of Christendom have totally lost the narrow, true way that few will find. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Proverbs 14:12-16, 25:21-2. Every time we repeat the Lord's Prayer, praying to the Father, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we ignorantly proceed to do our own wills, hoping we are somehow pleasing to the Father. To do the Father's will is to only do what the Father tells you to do, his will. This is exactly what Jesus told us that he did, and he only did, many, many times, of my own self, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who has sent me. John 5:30. The Son can do nothing of himself by his own will, but only does what he sees the Father do. John 5:19. I have many things to say and to judge about you, but he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world only those things that I have heard from him. John 8:26. For I do not speak from myself, but the Father, who sent me himself, commands me what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that to obey his command is life everlasting. Therefore, whatever I speak is just as the Father tells me to speak. John 12:49-50. But so that the world may know that I love the Father, I only do exactly as the Father has instructed me to do. John 14:31. He who doesn't love me does not obey my spoken words, and the spoken words that you hear are not mine, but are the Father's who sent me. John 14:24. Obviously, we are not like Jesus, who could hear from God every word to speak. First, we must be reconciled to God, and the only way to reconciliation is by means of the cross that crucifies our satanic, selfish spirit. But our cross is not a physical cross, it is inward. Our cross is to expose ourselves to hearing spoken orders from the Lord, which require changes in our behavior, and then obeying those orders with our changes, which is repentance. Until we have heard and obeyed many orders from God to repent, we are lawless, immoral, impure, covetous people, subject to being banned from heaven when we die. For of this you can be sure, that no sexually immoral or impure or covetous person, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Ephesians 5, 3-6 from the word of the Lord within, Ephesians 5, 5-6, this the void of the earth made perfectly clear. Those who are immoral have no inheritance in God's kingdom. To become pure and moral, we must expose ourselves to hearing the Lord's orders to change our behaviors by sitting in humble silence, as we wait on God to speak and or show us what He desires us to do. As we wait in humble silence, we listen for His words and watch for what He might show us. When we hear or see what He wants us to change, we obey Him. It is a cross to a man's will to sit in humble silence to wait on God, listening and watching, while struggling to keep his mind from wandering. It is a cross to a man's will to obey what he is commanded and taught by the Holy Spirit. This is the cross of which you must deny yourself and pick it up every day to then follow Jesus. To obey his voice is to follow Jesus. This is how to do what you have prayed for 1,000 times, that will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You cannot be his disciple unless you pick up your cross daily and follow his orders. Salvation is only received by those who follow the Lamb wherever he goes, who obey completely the voice of the Lord in whatever he commands. Do not be discouraged if you don't hear for some time. Even your waiting is to your credit. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, in proportion to our waiting and hoping on you. Psalms 33:22. Before reconciliation with God can occur, we must make many, many changes of repentance in our conduct, conversation, and even our thinking. So we must expose ourselves to the commands from God on a daily basis. This is what it means to daily deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. By denying your own will and following his commands that you wait for, listen for, and hear, the inward cross of self-denial. If we daily, diligently, and humbly wait on him, listen for him, and obey him, Jesus will change us so that he truly is our Lord, with the Father through him telling us what to say and do. This requires a radical, total change in us. But remember, it is necessary to enter the kingdom. This radical, total change results in us receiving a new heart, new mind, and new spirit, a pure heart, the mind of Christ and his spirit dwelling in us, controlling our every word and every deed. We have to lose our life to gain salvation and the eternal life of God. We gain salvation and the eternal life of God by him joining with us, to become one with us, in union with us, Jesus and the Father in us and us in them. But this union cannot occur until we have become pure like Jesus is pure. We must be washed, cleansed, and purified before we gain salvation, the eternal life of God, the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and Jesus to be our true master, our true king, our true Lord, ordering our every word and every deed. When Jesus is in your heart as your true Lord, ruling your every thought, word, and deed, then you are doing the will of your Father who is in heaven. From the word of the Lord within. You are the slave of whom you choose, obey, or not interested. You are the slaves of whom you obey. Every man must experience being a slave to God. You must submit continually. He must do all things. When you are purged from dead works, you are freed from serving iniquity to serving God. A time of great rejoicing, a time of being told what to do. The king is where he is king. I dwell in those with a broken and contrite heart. If you give heed to my words, I will dwell in you and walk in you. For servitude, every man must experience heartfelt desire. He must become totally different. We aim to please God. We are followers. The works of my Father must be done by all if you are to inherit eternal life. Only he who does the works of my Father can enter heaven. His works confirm who is. Do not be misled. You must enter the kingdom while on earth. The cross is the only way to the kingdom of heaven and to salvation with reconciliation to God, in union with him and Jesus. In addition to obeying the orders that you hear him commanding you to make changes in your behavior, as you advance further, you will be subject to suffering through several trials to test your faith. Trials and tribulations are also part of the cross, necessary for your salvation and to enter the kingdom. There is a webpage that shows the many scriptures that prove you must be subject to suffering, trials, and tribulations before you can enter the kingdom of heaven. Click to see. You must have fellowship with Christ in his sufferings. 1 Pet 4, 12-13 If you will reign with him, you must suffer with him. 2 Tim 2, 12 If you will live with him, you must die with him. 2 Tim 2, 11 And if you die with him, you must be buried with him. Rom 6, 4 And being buried with him in the true baptism, you also rise with him. Call 2, 12 There must be a coming into his death, a suffering with Christ, and this is of necessity to salvation, and not temporarily, but continually. There must be a dying daily. There is a web page with significant detail on how to carry your cross to enter the kingdom of heaven while still on the earth. See how to benefit from the changing power of God by waiting on the Lord. If you are shocked that the way to enter the kingdom of heaven is so different than what you have been previously taught, the following details why you must become like him in order to be with him. From the word of the Lord within, religion has rejected the status of men. All the world's religions, including today's Christianity, ignore that man is a fallen creature. Instead, the world's religions teach that we can become pleasing to God with some ritual, ceremony, prayer, meditation, reading scriptures, attending sex services, tithing, fasting, etc., none of which changes us from being defiled in our thoughts and unacceptable to God and heaven. Although we can hide our anger, although we can avoid committing adultery, although we can restrict our flesh from running to or reaching for evil, we cannot change the fact that we get angry, that we look at others with lust, that we want more, etc. We are selfish creatures intent on pleasing ourselves. Only the power of God can remove our selfish human nature. To become pleasing to God, to rid ourselves of our defiled hearts, we must be completely changed by the power of God to receive a new heart, mind, and spirit. To enter heaven by the necessity of doing the will of the Father is impossible with our own mind, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. Rom 8, 7, our carnal mind is part of our sinful nature, the nature of death, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Rom 8, 6. The Lord has even stated that to walk according to the imagination of your own heart is worse than worshiping stone or wooden idols. Because your fathers have forsaken me, says the Lord, and have walked after other gods, and have served them, and have worshipped them, and have forsaken me, and have not kept my law, and you have done worse than your fathers. For behold, every one of you walks after the imagination of his evil heart and mind, and therefore you do not listen to and obey me. Jer 16, 11-12. Paul describes the spirit of disobedience as fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the thoughts of our mind. F 2, 3 Paul warns us, therefore, this I say and testify in the Lord, that from this time forward you must not walk as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. F 4:17. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things you wish. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are sexual immorality, including adultery and fornication, impurity, lust, idolatry, including covetousness, sorcery, hatred, arguments, jealousy, anger, ambition, divisiveness, factions, envy, drunkenness, revelry, partying, and the like, which I say beforehand, as I have said before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Gal 5, 17, 19-21. Let's go back to the beginning to see how our mind, which is death and an enemy of God, got so messed up. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to tend it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for on the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. Gen 2:15-17 Now the serpent was more subtle than any creature that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God really said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, except the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden. God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took its fruit and ate, and she gave some to her husband, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Gen 3:1-7 Before his fall, Adam did not have to work for his food. It was provided by God. But now he must toil for food. And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. You shall eat of it in sorrow and toil all the days of your life. It shall bring forth thorns and thistles for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you shall eat bread until you return to the ground, for you were taken out of it, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return.'" Gen 3:17-19 So Adam and Eve decided they wanted to be wise like God, deciding what was good and evil for themselves. Now, up to this time, they only did as God told them. They heard God moving like a storm, and they heard his voice. They did not decide what was good or desirable for themselves. They trusted God to make the decisions. But suddenly, they could decide for themselves what they wanted and what they didn't want. They immediately decided they were naked. "I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." Gen 3:10 See, they were beginning to think for themselves, looking out for number one, who was no longer God. They were afraid too. They began to worry, to doubt, to fear. Supposedly, they were to become wise like God, able to decide what to do for themselves, but this was a great loss. For the serpent became their God instead. The spirit of Satan usurped the spirit of God in Adam and Eve. The spirit of Satan that wants to make his own decisions, wants to be wise, wants to be God. In his outstanding writing, No Cross, No Crown, Kingdom-Dwelling William Penn describes this fall in detail. "An inordinate desire of knowledge introduced man's misery and brought an universal lapse from the glory of his primitive state. Adam desired to be wiser than God had made him. It was not sufficient to know his creator and give him that holy homage his being and innocence naturally engaged and excited him to, nor to have an understanding above all the beasts of the field, the fowls of the air, and the fishes of the sea, joined with a power to rule over all the visible creation of God. But he had to become as wise as God too. This unwarrantable search and as foolish as unjust ambition made him unworthy of the blessings he received from God. This drove him out of paradise, and instead of being lord of the whole world, Adam becomes the most wretched vagabond of the earth. A strange change. Instead of becoming as gods, they should fall below the very beasts, in comparison of whom even God had made them as gods. The lamentable consequence of this great defection has been an exchange of innocence for guilt, and a paradise for a wilderness. But, which is yet worse, in this state Adam and Eve had gotten another god than the only true and living God, and he who enticed them to all this mischief furnished them with a vain knowledge and destructive wisdom, the skill of lies and equivocations, shifts, evasions, and excuses. They had lost their plainness and sincerity, and from an upright heart, the image in which God had made man, he man became a crooked, twining, twisting serpent, the image of that unrighteous spirit of the serpent, to whose temptations he yielded up with his obedience his paradise of happiness. Nor is this limited to Adam, for all who have fallen short of the glory of God are born sons of his disobedience. And so man, in hopes of becoming like God, only became like Satan, a rebel, an enemy of God, a slave to sin, a slave to the power of Satan, and now man must work hard for his food. Do you not know? You are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience that leads to righteousness. Rom 6:16 Christianity leaves people living in the lusts of their flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the thoughts of their minds, just like the rest of men. They are left in their sinful natures, walking according to the flesh, whose aim is satisfying things of the flesh, in their lusts, desires, affections, pleasures, pride, anger, vanity, fear, worries, plans, etc. They are left walking according to the ways of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, Satan, F2:2-3. If you live according to the flesh, the sinful nature, you will die. Rom 8:13. By Christianity, supposedly, saving you in your sins, you have lost your chance to find the superior life of God. For whoever will save his life shall lose it, and whoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Matt 16:25. The purpose of this website is to teach you how to carry your cross and receive the changing power of God, to become free of sin and enter into union with God as you are translated into his kingdom, while on earth and then forever. Christianity today is an enemy of the cross, falsely teaching that the cross is not necessary, and so their believers continue to sin and thus remain slaves to sin, John 8:34. The only cross of Christianity is just decoration, hanging on the wall or worn as jewelry. As children of Adam, those in Christianity were living in a state of damnation before they became believers. They remain damned after they become believers because they are still sinning and slaves to sin. Their damnation does not slumber, remaining in the condemned state of Adam, unpurified, unholy, unrighteous, unjustified, unsanctified, unsaved. When we speak, it is either by the Spirit of Christ within us or the Spirit of Satan. Christ told us, "Let your yes be yes, and your no, no, for whatever is more than these comes from the evil one." Matt 5:37. "But I say to you, for every idle non-edifying word that men speak, they will give an account of the same in the day of judgment." Matt 12:36. "Until we are purified, it is the spirit of the serpent, the evil one, speaking in us." The spirit that speaks through you is either Christ or the devil. There is no in-between spirit that is 99% undevilish. That is like being 99% unpregnant. Therefore, until we have Christ in control of our mouths, after purification and restoration, we should speak as little as possible. Adam and Eve, falling to the serpent's rule, is why the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. Rom 8:7. As long as we are thinking our own thoughts with our carnal mind, we are incapable of being pleasing to God. We are controlled by the satanic, sinful nature within us. We are selfish, vain, pleasure-seeking, fearful, angry creatures. We are full of lusts and pride. Our decisions are faulty and always self-serving, wrong, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Gen 8:21, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart, I try the mind, to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings works." Jer 17:9-10, "Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord examines the hearts." Pro 21:2, "Let the ungodly forsake his way, and the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Isaiah 55:7-9, "Everyone is ungodly and unrighteous, until the Spirit has destroyed their sinful nature on the inward cross of self-denial, which destroys the selfish, vain, carnal mind with its thoughts." The basic operation of grace is teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, and how to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Tit 2:11-12, "I have stretched out my hands all day long to a rebellious people, who walk in a way that is not good, after their own thoughts." Isaiah 65:2, "Where in times past you walked according to the ways of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, Satan, which is the spirit who now works in the children of disobedience, among whom we also all had our conduct in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the thoughts of our mind, and were by nature the children of wrath and the object of his indignation, just as the rest of mankind." F2:2-3, "From the word of the Lord within, your thoughts are not my thoughts. At best, your thoughts are a vain hiss. It is many thoughts that make the mortal man. Those who follow their own brain will weep and mourn, there will be great pain. The mind is a terrible thing." There is a blessing to make the cessation of the mind permanent. You must go on waiting, watching, and listening, then our hearts will be quiet by grace. We labor with a cursed mind, for the carnal mind is neither subject to the law of God, nor can it be. That which is in the enmity must die. You will receive a new heart and mind. Grow up into the mind of Christ, from which all good thoughts proceed. To know is not to think. To make decisions is to live in your carnal mind. The thoughts of the unrighteous are detestable, foul, disgusting to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. Pro 15:26, this verse contrasts the two types of people, the unrighteous and the pure. There is no in between. We are not fit company to God until we are purified. He hears all of our evil thoughts and they grieve him. The Lord knows the thoughts of man and that they are vanity. Psalm 94:11. Therefore, this I say and testify in the Lord, that from this time forward you must not walk as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, F4. 17, because your fathers have forsaken me, says the Lord, and have walked after other gods, and have served them, and have worshipped them, and have forsaken me, and have not kept my law, and you have done worse than your fathers. For behold, every one of you walks after the imagination of his evil heart and mind, and therefore you do not listen to and obey me. Jer 16, 11-12 Walking after the imagination of your own heart, or following your own brain, is worse than worshipping wooden and stone idols. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Rom 8, 6 So that is the task, to obtain a mind controlled by the Spirit, so we can have true life, Jesus, and peace. Jesus said, For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lack of restraint, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. Mark 7:21-23 We must become clean, clean by the word of God spoken to us. Those who are in the flesh living in their sinful nature cannot please God. Rom 8:8 For if you live according to flesh the sinful nature, you will die. But if through the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Rom 8:13 From George Fox's letter 24. That mind, which speaks of God, but lives not, dwells not, nor abides in the fear of God, that mind must suffer and pass under the judgment of God, for the curse of God is upon that mind. For that mind is earthly, and of the earth, upon which the curse of God is. And that mind may talk of God and speak of God, but not in union with God, nor from enjoyment of God and the Spirit, nor from having purchased the knowledge of Him through death and sufferings of self, but from hearsay of Him and from custom and tradition. But the true fear of God does destroy that mind which speaks of Him, but does not live in His fear, and that mind is raised up, which does abide in His fear. This is acceptable sacrifice, which is pure, clean, holy, and without spot. Then that which knows God speaks of Him, which has purchased the true knowledge of Him through suffering, and to such there is no condemnation, but joy and peace. And this mind sings true praises to God, the other in hypocrisy, and therefore the woe is unto it. And this mind is stayed upon God, the other is gadding after the creatures, committing fornication with other lovers, and speaks of God, but is not subject to God, and must pass through condemnation. So how do we put to death this sinful nature, this carnal mind, so we can live and do the will of the Father and enter the kingdom of heaven? Casting down all our own decisions and every barrier that is raised up against the wisdom from God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. 2 Cor 10:5, so that we have the mind of Christ, 1 Cor 2:16. So you can strip yourselves of your former nature that controlled your conduct, which corrupts itself through lusts and desires that spring from delusion, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the newly created nature of Christ, which is created in God's image of true righteousness and holiness. F4:22-24 The sinful nature, the carnal mind must be destroyed by God's grace, through the inward cross of self-denial. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh, the sinful nature, with its passions and desires, lusts and affections. Gal 5:24. The Holy Spirit shows us how captive we are to our lusts, pleasures, habits, anger, pride, and self-gratification, and how this self-centered behavior is at the expense of others around us. The Word and Light show us the defects in our heart, one at a time, and is a discerner and judge of the thoughts and intents of the heart. With our regret and sorrow for conditions exposed by the Holy Spirit, we receive help from the Holy Spirit to change. This conviction and condemnation of our beastly nature is the ministry of condemnation. Our carnal mind must be condemned and destroyed by God. When we have been sufficiently purged and purified of our selfish, sinful nature, then we receive the ministry of righteousness with additional spirit from Christ, until finally we are restored to the image, direction, and presence of God. So first learn the ministry of condemnation in yourselves, that life may arise, before the ministry in the Spirit is known, which preaches peace by Jesus Christ, where there is no strife. Therefore wait to know the time of silence and mind that which condemns you. From George Fox's letter 145. George Fox further speaks to this requirement. But all of you who are in your own wisdom and in your own reason, you say that silent waiting upon God is a famine to you. It is a strange life to you to come to be silent. You must come into a new world. Now you must die in the silence, die from the wisdom, die from the knowledge, die from the reason, die from the understanding. So as you come to feel that which brings you to wait upon God, you must die from the other that resists the silence and feels famished in silence. It is this, dying in silence, that brings you to feel the power of an endless life, and you come to possess it. In silent waiting upon God, you come to receive the wisdom from the above by which all things were made and created, and it gives an understanding and reason that is clearly different from that of the earthly man. This life of God in you is what brings you to wait upon God, and to know God is eternal life. To you this is the word of the Lord God. From George Fox's letter 58, the teachers without exalt the carnal mind, but the teacher within destroys it. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. Rom 8:7, when the carnal mind is destroyed, man's thoughts and labor cease. He enters into the rest of God, with God supplying the power and energy, direction, promptings, and knowledge. Man no longer works for his food. Man no longer fights against the enemies of his soul, anger, greed, immorality, lust, profanity, lying, covetousness, etc. Man rests from his own labors. The restored man's labors and works are powered and prompted by the Spirit of God. This is the rest with which you cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Isa 28:12. Therefore, since a promise of entering into his rest still stands, let us fear, lest any of you should come short of it. Heb 4:1. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and then you will find rest for your souls. Matt 11:29. For he who has entered into his rest has also ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Heb 4:10. George Fox described the Sabbath rest of the Christian, being a rest into Christ Jesus, saying, "Think not your own thoughts, for in Christ we are atop that nature where evil thoughts are, that nature having been taken away by Christ. So you should not think your own thoughts, do your own works, or speak your own words." Jesus said, "Which of you by taking thought can add one moment to his life?" Matt 6:27. Until Jesus Christ controls our words, actions, and thoughts, he is not our Lord. We can call him Lord, but that doesn't mean he rules us as our Lord or that we obey him as his servant. Remember, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin." John 8:34. If we are a slave to sin, he can't be our Lord and Master, because a man cannot serve two masters. He must hate one to serve the other. From George Fox's letter 245, "And as your ears are attentive to the Lord's voice, that speaks from heaven, iniquity's mouth is stopped in you, the throne of iniquity is thrown down in you." That is, the wicked spirit and power where iniquity sits, and the chambers of imagery are thrown down in you, where all thoughts and imaginations are. Your carnal mind is destroyed by the power of God, released through the hope that purifies and the faith that obeys the commands heard, which is a cross to your will. There are three manifestations of the power of God which are necessary for change. The name of Jesus, you have to at least believe in his name, Jesus Christ, as the Son of God. The true gospel, the good news that one believes, seizes as their hope, and exercises in faith to attain, and the cross of Christ, the inward cross of self-denial, the true gospel, the power of God to salvation, being that you have the opportunity by faith in Jesus Christ to be freed from even the inclination to sin, resulting in your purity and entrance into the kingdom of heaven while on earth, and then forever. As Jesus told Paul, "I now send you to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, release from sin slavery, and an inheritance among those who are purified by faith in me." Acts 26:17-18. The cross of Christ, the inward cross of self-denial, is the means to become free from sin, even the desire to sin. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh sinful nature, with its passions and desires, lusts and affections. Gal 5:24. Christ died on the cross to show us by example the extent of obedience required. For as he died on the cross in loving obedience to God, so we also must obey the promptings and commands of God, to crucify our sinful nature on the cross of self-denial. This is why he said, "But so the world may know that I love the Father, and that I only do exactly what my Father has instructed me to do." John 14:31. One of the primary reasons Jesus died on the cross was the example to us of how to die to self, and the extent of obedience required. For you were called to this because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example so that you should follow in his steps. 1 Pet 2:21 Knowing this, that our old man is crucified that the body of sin might be destroyed, so that we no longer be slaves to sin. Rom 6:6 For if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we suffer, we will also reign with him. 2 Tim 2:11 For whoever will save his life shall lose it, and whoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Matt 16:25 When your mind and sinful nature have been crucified on the inward cross of self-denial, then you receive the mind of Christ. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. 1 Cor 2:16 Our carnal mind is destroyed to the point that we speak and act from the promptings of the Spirit of God. This is the end of obedience, to think, speak, and work according to God's promptings. Does this mean that you become a clone, losing all your personality? No, to the contrary, you will reflect one of the manifold views of the wisdom of God, so that it might be made known to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. Compare the writings of the many early Quakers on this site. While they all write the same basic message, their words and expressions are unique to their life's experiences and to their personality. After crucifying the sinful nature, you are then restored into the image of God, from which Adam and Eve fell. The seed of the woman bruises the head of the serpent, and the serpent bruises the heel of the woman's seed. And I will put enmity between you, serpent, and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He, a later seed of the woman, shall bruise your head, a later generation of the serpent's seed. And you, serpent, shall bruise his woman's seed heel. Gen 3:15 The seed of the woman is the spirit of Jesus Christ, born of a woman, the seed of Eve. The seed of the serpent is the satanic, selfish spirit in you, the sinful nature, the carnal mind. The woman's seed, Christ, was severely bruised by the Pharisees. The head of the serpent in you is crushed by Christ, thus to break his power and strength, and to destroy him and his works. And the God of peace shall crush Satan under your feet shortly. Rom 6:16 From George Fox's letter 172. So every one of us that has come to the seed of God that bruises the serpent's head, that led man from God, who is the prince of the world, the prince of darkness, and the prince of the air, the father of lies, a murderer from the beginning, the corrupter of mankind, the author of the separation from God, and the original of sin, the beginning of it, which led man from his dominion over the handiworks of God, which the royal seed Christ destroys and renews man again in the image of God, and brings him again to his dominion over the handiworks of God. And this hundreds of thousands are now witnessing, by which they come to be kings, and redeemed from the earth and come to be made kings upon the earth, in the image of God, over the handiworks of God, in the wisdom by which they were created. Among these Christ is king, which thousands witness. Among these he is king. After your sinful nature has been crucified, Jesus appears, is revealed, in glory and power within you, to destroy the seed of the serpent. For this purpose the Son of God is revealed in us, that he might destroy in us the works sin of the devil. 1 John 3:8 You become an entirely new creature. Your soul is joined, married with the Spirit of Christ to become one union, an entirely new creature. Before Christ is revealed, the man of sin, the spirit of Satan in you, is revealed within you, showing you all manner of evil on the earth. This is the abomination of desolation, standing in your heart's temple where it should not. But this is the end of your fleshly self, as Christ then appears and slays the residual spirit of Satan within you by the brightness of his coming, by his breath, and the splendor of his coming, by his crushing the head of Satan under your heel. The final judgment. The true baptism of the Holy Spirit into the death of Christ, the sharing of his death, then the sharing of his resurrection in you. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Rom 6:4 In him you will be circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision performed by Christ, buried with him in baptism of death, in which you will be raised with him through your belief in the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. Call 2:11-12 Jesus described how it would be for Peter, at the sinful nature's death, to be led by the Spirit of God. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you dressed yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. John 21, 18 This is the return of Christ to you, bringing his kingdom and salvation. This is to see your Savior, to see God. This results in Jesus resurrected in you and having his glorious kingdom established in your heart. The world as you see it ends. It is gone. You will not see it again through the same eyes. You step into another dimension and walk by the light of God, not the sun or the moon. And the world passes away and disappears, along with its desires and lusts. But he who does the will of God remains forever. 1 John 2:17 We sit down with Christ to enter the rest. To enter the rest from fighting our enemies, like Israel entered the rest after they had purged their land of the surrounding peoples, only our enemies are spiritual. Lust, rage, selfishness, envy, greed, covetousness, jealousy, lying, cheating, stealing, sexual immorality, profane language, and evil thoughts, etc. Hebrews 1:11 is a serious warning to not fail to enter the rest because of unbelief in its possible attainment. Salvation is to be delivered from sin and be protected from evil, sanctified from our enemies of sin, never to fall to temptation again. That he would grant to us, that being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, we might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him, all the days of our life. Luke 1:74-5 This is the reason Christ came and died. To make it possible for fallen man to be reunited with God, to be restored to the image of God, as Adam was in before the fall. This was the hope of all generations, waiting for the Messiah, Christ, the mediator of new covenant, the great restorer, who would allow man to walk under the direction, prompting, and energy of God, in union with God, in the spiritual dimension of paradise, but while still alive in the physical dimension of earth, and then forever. This is what the prophets have inquired and the angels desire to look into. This is what they all saw and prophesied, the destruction of the works of the devil's sin, the restoration of man, back into union with God, in heaven, but even beyond the state of Adam, to sit down with Christ in the heaven, still capable of being tempted, but incapable of falling to temptation, and as kings, lords, and priests of God, as a living stone in New Jerusalem's temple of God, which is Christ's body, while continually beholding the glory and power of God, serving him without fear. In joy and reverential awe forever. To sit down with Christ is to enter the rest. To enter the rest from fighting your enemies, like Israel entered the rest after they had purged the land of the surrounding peoples. Only our enemies are spiritual. Lust, rage, selfishness, envy, greed, covetousness, jealousy, lying, cheating, stealing, etc. Now contrast the wonderful promises above with the lying promises of Christianity today, which is, Jesus came so you can sin without consequence. You must go through life burdened with sins. There is no possible way to get help. But don't worry or feel guilty for sinning, because we, the lying ministers, say you are going to heaven and escape hell. It is sick, isn't it? These true promises are beyond good news. They are beyond wonderful. Now, how do you get there? You must seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. Deuteronomy 4:29 Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. James 4:8 Notice James says draw near to God. God is not found in sect meetings. God is not found in reading scriptures. You must go to him. You must wait on him, listen silently, with the humility of a sinner in need of his changing power, grace. The best one-word description of the entire Bible is obedience. It is through disobedience that we fell, and only by obedience can we restored obedience to God's spoken commands to us from hearing, by listening, in silence, through seeking, by waiting, with humility, believing in the name of Jesus Christ. To obey the Holy Spirit instead of doing your own will is the inward cross of self-denial. As you obey the commands of the Lord you hear, your selfish nature is slowly killed by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of Christ increases within you, always bearing about in our flesh the same death of the inward cross of the Lord Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who live are constantly progressing to death, crucifying the old man for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus might be revealed in our mortal flesh. 2 Cor 4:10-11 So wait, watch, listen, hear, obey. Wait, watch, listen, hear, obey. Seek, listen, obey. If you do this repeatedly and diligently, you will witness all of God's promises to be true. You will enter the kingdom of heaven, now on earth, and forever. You are not only restored to the spiritual image of God, as were originally Adam and Eve, but you are elevated beyond their state, beyond temptation, to sit down at rest in Christ Jesus. Christ is resurrected in you. You will enter the rest to cease from your own labors to walk in the Spirit, under the power and promptings of the Father, through Christ, with whom you have joined in union, the pure church, sanctified, washed by the water of the Word at the wedding supper, and the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let him who hears say, "Come." And let him who is thirsty come. And whoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Rev 22:17. When you are in union, you are able to perform the worship of the Father, which he desires. But the time comes, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. John 4:23-24. According to William Penn, an early Quaker who dwelled in the kingdom, true worshiping of God is doing his will. When in union, you are able to do the will of your Father, who is in heaven. Now you are a true Christian, able to fulfill the purpose of becoming a Christian, to be an instrument of righteousness in the hand of God, dedicated to performing perfect works of righteousness that bring honor, glory, and pleasure to God, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, lawless deeds, sin, and purify for himself a people who are his very own, zealous for good works. Tit 2:14. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has ordained before that we should walk in doing good works. F 2:10. Now the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Heb 13:20-21. That you might walk worthy of the Lord, pleasing in all things, being fruitful in every good work. Col 1:10. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Matt 5:16. But he who practices truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be shown to have been produced, formed, and powered through God. John 3:21. For it is God who brings forth in you both the will to work and the works as commanded, according to his good pleasure. Phil 2:13. Therefore, if a man purges himself from the latter, iniquity, lawlessness, sin, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and ready for the master's use and prepared for every good work. 2 Tim 2:21. From the word of the Lord within, the works of my Father must be done by all if you are to inherit eternal life. Only he who does the works of my Father can enter heaven. His works confirm who is, only his works praise him. Note. The word of the Lord within has said that, 1. The works of my Father must be done by all if you are to inherit eternal life. 2. Only he who does the works of my Father can enter heaven. And 3. Only his works praise him. And William Penn wrote, true worshiping of God is doing his will. Perhaps you are now beginning to see that not only does today's Christianity not have a clue as to how to enter heaven and avoid hell, but today's Christianity has completely missed 1. The purpose of being a Christian, 2. How to worship God, 3. How to praise God, and 4. How to become a real Christian. By means of their false gospels, which dismiss the cross as a necessity, their colossal errors have become pervasive in all Christianity today. Preachers of such false gospels, speaking great swelling words of vanity, lure through the lusts of the flesh and much wantonness those who are barely escaping from those who live in error. Although they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption, sin, immorality, for by whatever a man is overcome, he is enslaved. 2 Peter 2:12-19. The true salvation is by the cross, which is bearable but not easy. It is not easy to lose your life. It is not easy to forsake everything, even your thoughts. It is not easy to find the narrow gate to heaven, and many will try and be unable to pass through. It is not easy to suffer. So any alternative to the cross, which supposedly allows one to escape hell, is eagerly received with false doctrines and lies that quickly became pervasive. For further details of suffering on the cross, see suffering and tribulation. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but they will heap accumulate in piles to themselves teachers after their own lusts, who will say what their itching ears want to hear, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and will be turned to fables. 2 Timothy 4:3-4. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their own means authority, and my people love to have it so, but what will you do in the end of it? Jer 5:31 For many walk, of whom I have often told you and now tell you weeping, who are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly desires, lusts, and whose glory is their shame, who think on earthly things. Phil 3:18-19 But the cross is bearable. As Jesus told us, even prostitutes and tax collectors were entering the kingdom in his time. As Isaiah tells us, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err in it and go astray. Isa 35:8 But now having made free from sin, and having become slaves to God, you have your fruit reward of holiness, and the end, everlasting life. Rom 6:22 You have been freed from worry, fear, and anxiety in trying to make the best decision, to say the right words, to do the right thing, never being sure and frequently being wrong. What you lose is the freedom to lie, cheat, rage, take advantage of others, using them for your pleasure, power, or wealth, and you lose your slavery to possessions and pleasures. What you gain is to have God's direction in all, with confidence that He knows all, and whatever His will is for you is inherently perfect, without flaw, and always to your ultimate benefit. So you are free from having to analyze and choose, free to live in love, free to follow virtue, free from the law, confident, and assured your life is one of noble purpose and results. You are in the rest, thoughts and words prompted by the Spirit, and actions powered by the Spirit. Being filled with God's love, you are then free to show that love to the world, and to show your love for God in your continued choice to obey His commands and promptings, which will be your greatest joy. And free to have fellowship with Christ and the Father, in the light, full of joy, with eternal peace, basking in the radiance of their presence, filled with and experiencing their constant love. An excerpt from Stephen Crisp's outstanding writings, those that are willing to sit down in quietness, in the light of Christ Jesus that shows every running out of the mind, they come to feel the pure fear of God to be planted in their hearts, so that they dare not think their own thoughts nor speak their own words. Here many have turned aside. The cross of Christ has seemed to them so sharp and hard and intolerable that they could not bear it. They would not be at the charge of such a religion. What, must I part with all my delights and my beloved lusts and pleasures and all my interests in the world for Christ? I cannot part with these things lie in my way, I must rather lose my soul than part with what is so pleasing to me and join with the light of my own conscience and the truth in my inward parts. What, must I not have so much as liberty of thought? What, must my thoughts be regulated by what is so cross and repugnant to my mind? Must I throw out all evil thoughts out of my heart and allow none but the good thoughts to remain there? Who can stand this? Who can bear such strictness as this? Rather than endure this, I will choose to lose my soul. Many have lost the truth on this account, and many are in danger to lose their souls. If there is in you any desire of peace with God, so that you may not go from here before you have attained it, take hold of the present opportunity. Hardness of heart is a desperate plague. It comes from a long, obstinate continuance in sin. When we have withstood the day of God's patience and long-suffering and grieved the Holy Spirit of God, then God gives us up to our own heart's lusts because we choose to follow the voice of the charmer, however wise he appears. When we stop our ears and will not attend to the calls of God, when men will go on and nothing can stop them in the career of their lusts and pleasures, but they will retain their carnal delight and friendship with the world, this hardness of heart becomes a desperate plague. Take heed of it that it does not overtake you and bring ruin and destruction upon you. Consider the patience and long-suffering of God and let His goodness lead you to repentance. Consider, God has waited to be gracious to you. He has exercised much long-suffering and patience towards you, whereas He might have cut you off long ago and given you your portion with the damned in hell. But He has hearkened to the voice of the mediator who has pleaded for you. He has extended His patience and long-suffering to the wicked and rebellious also. And for this reason, the Apostle tells us, Christ is the Savior of all men, especially of them that believe. An excerpt from Ambrose Rigge's excellent writings. All men by nature are the children of wrath, as it is written, F2:3, fallen from God and His power, degenerate plants of a strange vine, Jer 2:21, daily bringing forth evil fruit, in which God has no delight. His heart is corrupted, his mind is corrupted, and every part and member of his body, from the crown of the head to the sole of his foot, full of wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, Isa 1:6. Every imagination of his heart is only evil continually, Gen 8:21. So that he is a vessel altogether unfit for the Lord's use or service, Neither has the Lord any delight in him in that state, because he is a slave to Satan, led captive at his will, to dishonor his Maker in all his words and works, so that all his undertakings and outgoings are to promote Satan's kingdom. He calls evil good and good evil, puts light for darkness and darkness for light, and is void of understanding, as the beast that perishes. He is altogether insensible of his Creator, and of his way, truth, and life, because they are spiritually discerned, being wholly a stranger to the life of God and to the covenant of promise, and without God in the world in its ways and works of darkness, drawing iniquity with cords of vanity and drinking it in as the ox drinks water until he fills himself and vomits it up again. In this condition, man's wisdom is earthly, carnal, sensual, and devilish. Yet by this he would try to grasp the heavenly mystery of eternity and dive into the secrets of the Almighty and set up a way of worship of God in his own selfish will and establish a righteousness of his own, and will pray, read, sing, and perform many duties in a hot zeal, though without understanding the knowledge of God, his Creator. In this state were the Jews, who killed and persecuted the Lord of life in their darkness and unbelief, in a righteousness of their own, which was as filthy rags, and would not cover them from the wrath of the Almighty, a just reward of all their ungodly deeds, unto whom Christ put forth many parables, and said, Except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, John 3:3. And except you are converted, and become as little children, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of God, Luke 18:17. Though they were painted white all over as whitewashed walls, yet they were foul and corrupted, blind and naked. Therefore the woe was often pronounced against them, for all their zeal and profession of Christ and the apostles' words. Therefore this is my counsel and advice unto you, who are in the unconverted state, alienated from God, and estranged in your mind from his covenant of life, who has any desires in you to return unto the Lord who made you, that he may save you from the heat of his wrath forever. Cease from your own words, works, and ways, and be not hasty to run, before your Maker leads you by the hand in the light of his truth with which Christ has lighted you, John 1:9, which shines in your dark heart, 2 Cor 4:6, so shall you not abide in darkness, but shall receive the light of life, John 8:12. Listen to his voice, he who stands at your door and knocks, and who would have you receive him into your heart, which is his throne, upon which he must sit as king, if he ever receives you into protection with him. There he must work the Father's will in you, which is to purify you throughout in body, soul, and spirit, without which you can never be a vessel of honor to God to set forth his praise and glory in the earth. He must work his righteousness in you by his right hand, which must cover you forever. And you must be crucified upon his cross from all your own righteousness and unrighteousness, all which spring from the seed of enmity, in which God has no delight, before you know the peace of God, which passes all understanding, to keep your heart and mind. All this you will find true in the day of your visitation, however the false prophets may persuade you to the contrary. That will deceive you in the day of the Lord's fierce indignation, when everyone shall receive a reward according to his deeds. This is a hard saying to you, who are still alive in the fullness of delight and pleasure of the flesh, to tell you of dying to your own righteousness and unrighteousness before you come to live to God. This is a bitter cup to you, of which you must be willing to drink before you taste of the cup of blessing, which is the communion of the blood of Christ, 1 Cor 10:16. You must suffer with him who died upon the cross before you know the virtue of his resurrection. You must put off the old man with his deeds before you put on the new man, F4:22-24. You must purge out the old leaven of uncleanness, and the old bottle must be broken, before you keep a feast of unleavened bread, 1 Cor 5:7-8, as a Passover unto the Lord. This is the footsteps of the flock, in which you must walk before Christ's righteousness is you. You must buy the truth with the loss of all that is contrary to it, if ever you truly purchase it, so as to be yours forever. This is the word of the Lord God to you, which must be fulfilled in or upon you. Let no man deceive you, through vain words of those who tell you, God looks upon you not as you are in sin, but as you are in Christ. O poor deluded wretch! This is the deceivableness of unrighteousness indeed, which would make God as unrighteous as themselves, to look upon man in Christ when he is not, but in sin and transgression. Give not heed to such lying vanities, for fear that you forsake your own mercies forever. For because of these things has come the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. F5:6, Col 3:6. He that said to the wicked, "You are righteous," shall the nations curse, and people abhor. Pro 24:24. I say, God looks upon you as you are, and he will not justify you in sin, nor hold you guiltless in transgression, but will wound the head of his enemies, and the hairy scalp of such a one as goes on still in his trespasses. PSA 68:21. Therefore return unto the Lord by speedy repentance, and kiss the Son for fear that he is angry, and you perish from the way of life, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that trust in him. PSA 2:12. This I was warned by the Lord to lay before all who are yet in Babylon and Egypt, that they may flee out and escape from her sins, for fear that they partake of her plagues, as it is written, Rev 18:4, for the hour of her judgment has come, and the execution will speedily follow, which will leave the wicked neither root nor branch. Therefore let your laughter be turned into mourning, and your joy into heaviness, for God has clothed himself with a garment of vengeance, and with zeal, as with a cloak. Isa 59:17. And no unclean thing shall now stand before him. How, you oaks of Bashan, and you cedars of Lebanon, the Lord has laid his axe to your roots, and your strength and tallness must come down. Your fruit has been the fruit of Sodom, and your grapes the grapes of Gomorrah. You have long cumbered the ground, even until it is weary with you, and is ready to vomit you up. Therefore bow yourselves unto the mighty God of Jacob, before he cuts you down, and casts you into the fire of his jealousy forever. Tremble at the presence of him, whose word is gone forth. He is the God of the whole earth, and before him all nations are as the drop of a bucket. Isa 40:15, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out the heavens with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance. Isa 40:12. He will render to every man according to the fruit of his doings. Therefore, while you have a little time, prize it, for fear that the day of your visitation passes away, and the day of wrath comes upon you as a thief in the night. 1 Thessalonians 5:2. Those who follow their own brain will weep and mourn, there will be great pain. From the word of the Lord within, 30408, if those who hear will obey, their progress will be swift. From the word of the Lord within, 348, by which exceedingly great and precious promises are given to us, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. 2 Peter 1:4, this is the way, walk in it. Isaiah 30:21, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. PSA 16:11, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Heb 11:6, how could this have happened? Jesus warned us of false prophets, blind guides, and even false miracle workers to come. John predicted the whole world would follow a false church. The apostles spoke of false ministers' teachers existing already while they were alive. And then in 336, add the Roman Emperor Constantine, who had boiled his wife to death and poisoned his son, effectively became the head of the church and ordered uniform Christian doctrines throughout the Roman Empire. And by the crushing boot of the Roman army, he ordered the true Christians death or exile, even ordering the destruction of any documents that did not support the official Roman doctrines of Christianity. As was prophesied in Revelation 18:3, the church had adulterated with the kings of the earth. And you can't mix a church with the powers of the earth and expect anything but a monster religion to result, because the powers of the earth are motivated by greed, approval of men, possessions, pride, envy, revenge, bloodlust, all the base human characteristics. So by 388, add the true church, as was prophesied in Revelation 12:6, ceased to exist publicly and was driven into the wilderness. The Reformation failed to re-establish the true church, for according to the word of the Lord within, the Protestant sects have invented nothing new except instant salvation by grace. It is twisted, pernicious lies, a fatal flaw that turns aside the just. So the true church was not to appear publicly again until 1648 with George Fox and the early Quakers. Yet alas, as also spoken by the word of the Lord within, the last substance of the Quaker faith disappeared in 1880. There is no fear of God and no obedience. Thus the world was left with the false churches and only blind guide, false prophet preachers, still pervasive in Christianity today. Click below to see the Bible's many detailed descriptions of false prophets and false apostles, Jesus's warnings, apostles' warnings, and more warnings. Old Testament's warnings. From the word of the Lord within, beware of false prophets. There are millions of blind guide preachers. How can the ministers claim to be mine when inside they are full of deceit and hypocrisy? They do everything for show. The gregarious make a living teaching the scriptures. Those who preach against perfection have a lack of earnest faith. False prophets appeal to unstable souls. I am against the shepherds who have prophesied a false salvation. No one in Christendom is warning the people about sin. They have taken the Bible and made it an unholy thing used to justify their immersion in sin. They have trivialized the Bible. They gutted what Jesus had to say. Jesus is ad tunes. They forget about me and teach errors. They teach the commandments of men. In vain do they worship me. They throw the word righteousness around without any understanding of what it means. There is no hope, there is no guidance, other than study the scriptures. Woe be to them, for they have coupled an external form between the love of God to man. 10 words from him are better than 10 copied letters. They cannot understand what the Spirit is doing. Their preaching only conveys the pride of Samaria. Outside the faith, they are teaching an equilibrium between good and evil. Those who follow the advice of these unpurified leaders, their life is like a bubble. I refuse to answer them. We deliberately ignore those of great repute. The leader of their army is Lucifer. They want to be sons, they recognize the scripture. He that is born of God has no sin, but they blithely go on. These people are far from me, living in sin and teaching others the inevitability of sin until death. The licenser and spirit of grace cannot stand together. God brings the curse on those sleight of hand. I further decry those who make a living preaching the scriptures. Just like Judaism was taken over by the enemy, so has Christianity, which is corrupt through and through. Like Daniel, you are captive of the Chaldeans. Your place of worship is filled with unclean birds. Babylon is great and mighty. Babylon the Great, aggrandizement of self. O Christendom, be not at ease in Babylon. Woe to those who try to bring good from evil. In your worship service, look around you. Do you see the Holy Spirit? Proper worship is for 2 or 3 to speak as moved by the Spirit. Christianity has no idea what I am or for what I stand. There is no church in the world that Christ set up specifically. None of the churches reflect true Christianity. The leaders of Christianity are dogs, blind, dumb, ignorant dogs, professing to know everything, they know nothing. Professing to know everything, they live their lives as fools. Despite his record, the world regards Augustine as the foremost expert on religion. The Catholic Church is medieval, it is a beast. Those of the Aegean Sea, their councils are thick and dark, their hearts are callous and cold. The Protestant sects have invented nothing new except instant salvation by grace. It is twisted, pernicious lies, a fatal flaw that turns aside the just. Do you agree with any who in their arrogance have stated that God excuses evil in believers? It's not fair, but they don't care. For more details on how to receive the changing grace of God, including the necessary suffering of the cross, see how to benefit from the changing power of God by waiting on the Lord. The will of the Father is to have sons, sons that love him, sons that are tried, tested, faithful, pure, and holy, sons that he can love, sons that he can shower his gifts and treasures upon, sons that he can share his very self with, sons that do his will on earth as it is in heaven, and then forever. This website's purpose is to show how to become free from sin by benefiting from the changing power of God through the cross, which leads to union with God and his kingdom.